Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today, and had a lot of different stuff going on. Talked to Warriors. They play the Bucks tonight at 5 o'clock, and Tony Vitello was introduced as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. We had that press conference, also joined by Tony Baselio, a Knoxville radio host who knows Vitello very well. Great interview, great insight, and we'll see how that plays out. And coming up in 10 minutes... I'm not nervous, but you know, I don't know what to expect from this guy. The boss has really built him up. Steve Summers, 1 o'clock, longtime WFAN host. He's been there since 87, and he's the host of the Me Here, You There podcast every week. And then he's got a book by the same name, Me Here, You There. Grew up in San Francisco as a Giants fan, and he was once a PA announcer for the San Francisco Warriors. And he better deliver. He better deliver, or that's how insubordination starts at a workplace. If he doesn't deliver, I'm not letting Higgin push any of these guests on us again.
Well, first of all, we'll take him. Number two, he looks like an original. And number three, can I read you something?
Yeah.
So I need your help, and really my father, a loyal listener.
When you're on...
No, he likes you guys. He thinks, Donnie, that you're a good kid. So he texted me.
I might be older than him, though.
You're not.
Okay.
I'm enjoying the show today. I like Tony Vitello. I hope he does well. BTW, the descriptivist, would use quote-unquote conciseness. And the lexicographer, I think that's how it's pronounced, would use quote-unquote concision. Buster ain't a lexicographer. Ask Steiny which he would use. First of all, do you know what those words mean?
I'm a journalist words.
I thought a lexicographer, if I'm even saying it right, was like the old dude. Who was the guy who, invented like the typewriter with the metal things and you had to put up there on the big thing that looked like a grand organ? Or
the person who compiles dictionaries.
You know what I would have done there? Not knowing if it's conciseness or concise.
Concision.
I would have said, I love the fact that he's concise. I would have said something like that. I would have avoided either one because I wasn't sure, but I guess they both were.
I couldn't tell if it was a shot at Buster or not, but my dad, he's a big baseball fan.
What's he think? Is he as skeptical as his son?
About who? About Buster or Tony? Actually, I might be more skeptical about Buster than I am about Tony. I think he likes Buster. He thinks he's pretty smart. Although I haven't talked to him too much about the Giants. He's been locked into the World Series. By the way, big day yesterday, before we dive into everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Big day for Brooks County, PA.
Okay. You almost got it right.
It's not Brooks?
It's Berks. B-E-R-K-S, Berks County, of course, the county seat, Reading, Pennsylvania. And
dude, I said it to you in the green room. Maybe you just didn't hear me. You weren't listening. But I said Brooks, and you said yes.
That's because I thought you said Brooks, and I was like, just let him go. He won't remember. Boyertown, Pennsylvania's in Berks County.
Well, you got to go see Billy Idol yesterday.
Yes, I did.
That's the other win. That's the win for Reading. And then the win for Pottstown,
which is really close to Reading,
is Trey Yesavage.
Yeah.
Who absolutely dominated the Los Angeles Dodgers for a second time in the World Series last night.
Yeah.
You got to be feeling on cloud nine.
My mom actually sent me a bunch of texts. How about this nice boy from Boyertown? Do you talk about him on the show? I say, yeah, I shoehorn him, man. You savage. So, seriously, give me his lowdown about what he's doing and when he got in here and how much experience he doesn't have.
Well, just like Tony Vitello, it's unprecedented.
Is it really?
No, seriously. There's never been a rookie in the World Series that has struck out 10 or more in multiple games. I know it's kind of a niche stat.
A rookie
has never struck out 10-plus batters multiple times in a World Series. He struck out 10 in Game 1, in which they won, and he last night struck out 12 over 7 innings, which is unbelievable, and they won the game. By the way, that was also the most pitches he'd ever thrown in the major leagues because he only made 3 starts prior to the postseason. He got called up in September as a first-round pick. And I think Vitello actually referenced his head coach because he played at ECU, East Carolina, in his press conference. But he was a first-round draft pick. He's got a nasty splitter and is apparently putting Boyertown High School and Pottstown, PA on the map.
Yeah, and he went to Boyertown High School, and did you play Legion baseball when you were growing up?
No, I didn't play Legion. Legion's like travel, but I only played, we didn't really have a league. It was just travel ball in the East Bay.
Anyway, back in Pennsylvania, Boyertown is known as a baseball powerhouse. The Boyertown Bears, most storied program in Pennsylvania American Legion baseball history, and is recognized as one of the top programs in the country. So they've got an unbelievable baseball program in Boyertown. And yet, when I Googled how many major leaguers were from Boyertown, it wasn't as many as I would have thought.
No, I mean, it's not as many as like El Cerrito, California or anything, but
who do they have?
EC?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Mario Hollins, number one. You haven't heard of him?
Ryan Hollins, yeah.
You heard of Marcus Semien?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
pretty good player. The guy that always escapes me is the Cardinals pitcher from the 1950s who went to El Cerrito High.
Bobby Chance?
No, you hadn't heard of him either. But he had one season in 56 where he won like 20 games. He's a legend.
Hold on.
I just can't remember his name.
Hold on. Ralph Terry?
Oh, I'll find it.
I don't know. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, we got Steve Summers, a longtime WFAN host, and he's going to be on the clock today. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The one thing I feel like I got to do once we get to the crossover, I'll ask listeners for a little help here on the text lines. So I go to this Billy Idol show yesterday in front of 50 people, and
Ernie Broglio. That's the guy. Ernie Broglio, El Cerrito High School.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, I went to this Billy Idol show, and everybody was nice enough to let me leave at 1:30. How grateful should I be to these guys today? Like, do I have to fawn and say thank you guys so much? I'm talking about Willard and Dibbs. Even though they really didn't have any say in it, I want to make them think that they did, and so I think I'm going to like really try to kiss up to them just to, because I think they might be like a little bit jealous.
So you know me.
Yeah.
That's one option. Or, because you know they're actually jealous, you can kind of, the knife's already in. Just start twisting.
I think I may do that.
Just start twisting the knife.
Because I got to tell you something, Evan, and I mean this. I go to that show yesterday, and, you know, I'm just in there watching this guy who's 69. He's a legend. And I got a smile on my face. I'm like, I'm 5 feet from this guy who was he's a legend. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for being here. It was I would have been mad knowing how it all went down and me not being allowed to go. So,
yeah,
not apologizing. It was, you know what? It's a concert I'll never forget.
Could you imagine the FOMO you'd be feeling if you weren't there?
Like
the FOMO that everyone else who had to stay was probably feeling? Thinking about you 5 feet from Billy Idol. He still had the blonde spikes.
Oh, yeah. He's got a great head of hair. Apparently, he's been using this product for a long time.
And you said he was telling stories about the Stones?
Yeah.
Because he was a part of the second British invasion.
Yes. And I got to double check this story. But he said, he's one of his famous songs is called Rebel Yell.
Yep.
And, he told the story about how he was invited to Ron Wood's birthday party in the 80s. He, of course, was in the Rolling Stones, and he found himself sitting across from Mick Jagger, Ron Wood, and who's the other guy? Keith Richards.
Oh, boy.
And he said it was late at night, and it was one of those nights of partying, and the last thing he remembered one night was looking across, seeing Mick Jagger drinking this brown bourbon that he didn't know what it was. He didn't drink bourbon at the time. And he said he remembers vaguely Mick Jagger putting this bottle up to his lips, and he looked at the bottle, and it was called Rebel Yell, I guess, the bourbon that they were drinking back in the 80s or whatever.
And that's how he came up with the name for the song?
That's what I asked some people, and they're like, I guess. I hadn't heard that before, but...
If that's the origin story, that's pretty cool.
Dude, he hung out with all the big boys.
Well, he is a big boy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Warriors play the Bucks tonight. That's a 5 o'clock start. I'll tell you what, we got choices tonight. I do. I got Warriors-Bucks at 5. We got Ravens-Dolphins at 5. And here's the wild card that could be a problem.
Is this the big one?
Yes. We've got University of Texas San Antonio versus Tulane at 4:30. From the Alamo Dome. From the Alamo Dome.
Now, that's where the Spurs used to play?
They used to, yeah.
You ever go to a game there?
Yeah. In fact, there was a famous game there. The Warriors once opened their season at the Alamo Dome. Don Nelson was the coach, and a water cannon. Have you ever heard about this? You know how
a sprinkler system?
Yes, a sprinkler system. Only when you say sprinkler system, it's not like there's water dripping from the ceiling. Like, it's a cannon. It is a cannon of water, and it went off before the Warrior game. And it completely soaked an entire section right behind a basket. Like, the fans were soaking. I mean, it was coming out unbelievable. The floor got all messed up. They had to delay the game about an hour. Don Nelson was coaching, and after the game, he's, well, what did you guys think of the water cannon? And we're like, yeah, pretty amazing, huh? And he goes, yeah, that's the biggest wet T-shirt contest I've ever seen.
Yeah. That one might
Don Nelson.
What year was that, Steiny?
Don Nelson. It was the first Don Nelson iteration, so it must have been the late 90s.
Yeah, that joke probably needs to stay in the late 90s.
Yeah. Well, he's about late 90 right now, probably.
Don Nelson?
No, he's not that.
Oh, he's probably in Hawaii now. He's living it up.
No, he is.
He did come stateside for, what was it, whose induction? With Dallas.
Oh, Dirk. It had to be Dirk, right?
Dirk Nowitzki, yeah.
Had to be Dirk.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. We're efforting Matt Nahegan's best friend. We'll see if he can get him.
Well, it sounds like he could be our best friend by the end of this interview.
Matt Nahegan prides himself on this kind of thing. So 49ers and the New York Giants. Hey, Kyle Shanahan was asked... He was asked a lot yesterday By the way, you know what? I do want to take care of this. Keon White is a guy from the Patriots that the 49ers traded for. What's his role going to be?
We need D linemen with all our guys injured. Also, regardless, he would help to any team. Thought he was a problem when we played against him last year. Really liked what he does on film, too. He can play DN and he can rush inside, so versatile guy.
How'd you view that trade?
They need bodies.
Like a survival.
Well, that's kind of what he said, right? It's like, we need pass rushers. You know, and again, it feeds back into our conversation for the crossover yesterday. Will were talking about where's the questions about the quarterback, and I understand all that. But I also hear where Cam Inman, who was on with him yesterday, is saying, dude, we don't know who's going to be on the field on Sunday at several positions. And I hate to break it to you, if Brock's not on the field, we know who's going to be the quarterback because he's been the quarterback for the last 6 weeks.
Right.
Or a total of 6 weeks. So is Deion White going to help him? I know he hasn't had a sack this year with the New England Patriots, but at the very least, he can be on the field. Like, there's only been one dude this year that has really impacted pass rushing for the Niners for, you know, really since Bosa went out, and that's Bryce Huff, and he's unavailable because he's got a hammy. So there's nobody, like, watching the Houston game, watching some of those highlights, like, C.J. Stroud was untouched for much of that game. And it was frustrating to watch.
We got him? Oh, we got him. All right. This is a big interview for Matt Nahegan. A big interview. His guy better come through. All right. Anytime we have a guest on 95.7 The Game, he or she appears on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Steve Summers, longtime WFAN host in New York since 1987. He also hosts the Me Here, You There podcast every week. He grew up in San Francisco as a Giants fan. And apparently, he was once a PA announcer for the San Francisco Warriors. Welcome to the show, Steve Summers. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thank you. We're doing okay. It's raining very hard and very windy here in New York. Kind of reminds me of when I was a kid going to Candlestick Park in July. But thank you, guys, very much. Matt, your program director, and you guys, Evan, everybody, thank you very much for having me on. It's really an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. And the San Francisco Giants just hired a coach with no major league experience, either playing or managing. You go way back with this franchise. Just what do you think about a team trying to do that? It's never been done before.
Well, that's kind of risky. I think he was from Tennessee, correct?
Yeah.
And I read about it online, and it is risky because obviously college baseball a little bit different than dealing with multimillionaires and major leaguers. So, and again, the dynamic is a little bit different. The rules with extra innings, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is a little bit different. It'll be an adjustment period. It is a risky move, mainly because he's had no major league experience or even minor league experience, unless you consider college baseball. I know he's had a good program at Tennessee, but still, that's not taking on San Diego and Hollywood.
Well, Steve, when I hear San Francisco Warriors, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming late 60s, early 70s. I hate to date you. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, right. In the 70s,
okay.
Franklin Muley, who wore a beret and a scarf around the neck, he owned the Warriors, and he wanted to start. He was a little bit of a maverick, a little bit of an innovator, wanted some girls basketball preceding, you know, the Warriors with the regular season game. So I got the job. It hardly paid anything, but I would have paid them, you know, for that kind of an opportunity. It was announcing and broadcasting, and so it didn't last for very, very long, and look at where women's basketball is now. But the bottom line, it was a fun opportunity and a fun job to do.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because I'm assuming that you saw someone that I never had to, that I've only heard of the myth and the lore of Wilt Chamberlain. What was he like?
Sure, yeah. I mean, And of course, known everywhere among NBA types, that's for sure. And he was with Philadelphia, and then the San Francisco Warriors, playing at the Civic Auditorium downtown off of Market Street, that kind of thing. And of course, he had 100 points in one game, and he sure was big. And it really, you know, everyone talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the sky hook, having an unbelievable shot that you couldn't block. And you really, the only guy that really, really could guard and contest Wilt Chamberlain was Bill Russell. And you guys, you know, I think I have neckties older than you two, but the bottom line is that Bill Russell and Casey Jones, two very famous Boston Celtics, played their college ball at the University of San Francisco, where they went undefeated for 2 years. But the bottom line is Russell was a great defender. I could also score a little. Nobody ever gives him credit for the scoring, but he got you 16, 18 a game, and then 16 or 17 rebounds a game. But he gave Chamberlain a very, very tough time, no question about it.
We're being joined by Steve Summers, and he's got a book out, Me Here, You There, My Three Decades Overnight, Under the Covers, Schmoozing Sports, or S-P-O-R-T, as Captain Midnight. So you worked overnight at WFAN for more than three decades, and I can't help but notice there's a foreword to your book by somebody who many people are familiar with, Jerry Seinfeld. So tell me about the book.
And, well, first of all, if you have trouble sleeping at night, you want to pick up the book. But the bottom line, how I met Seinfeld is an interesting story. Late 80s, maybe as late as 1990, I was watching during the summer, and it was just sweltering heat. And humidity. It was a July morning. I was watching Saturday Night Live, and I didn't work on the weekend. I only worked overnight for about 8 years. I was at WFAN for 34 years, but I had a spot after Mike and the Mad Dog, Russo and Mike Francesa, and I followed them at 6:30 for a number of years also. But bottom line is, with Seinfeld, an interesting story here, and I hope not to put you to sleep with it, but it was a July night. I'm watching Saturday Night Live, and at 1:30 in the morning, Eastern time, of course, just so hot and humid, I decided to walk down the block to this grocery store, Bodega, and buy a pint of ice cream. And in the Bodega at 1:30 in the morning were two people and the cashier. And the two people, one was Seinfeld, and the other was still his very good friend, George Wallace, another comedian. And they had been at a comedy club that was right around the block from where I live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And they were at a comedy club, Catch a Rising Star.
Yeah.
And they were in there, you know, to watch some amateur comedians, and then stopped off. And of course, where would you find Seinfeld? What aisle? The aisle of cereal. Him and George Wallace were looking at boxes of cereal. And I never, even as a kid watching the Giants, and before the Giants came to San Francisco in 58, I watched the San Francisco Seals. And, of course, Joe DiMaggio played for them. And the old Pacific Coast League was all AAA, the Oakland Oaks, the Sacra Tomato Solons. I always refer to them as Sacra Tomato. I worked in Sacra Tomato. I always thought if you were a vegetable, that would be a great place to live. I had a broccoli, some corn. You know, you want to live in Sacra Tomato. But anyway, so I had to walk up. And I wasn't that person that did that a lot or at all, really, about walking up to people you recognize as celebrities. But I said, you know what? Nobody's here. Maybe he'll, you know, not even acknowledge that I'm there. And so I walked up to him and I gave him a business card. And WFAN had, as you mentioned, been on the air only since 87. And my mother and father thought nobody was going to be calling me overnight, midnight to 6. But New York, as you guys know, the city that never sleeps. So butchers and bakers and candlestick makers were all calling me, and bartenders and truck drivers, cab drivers, you name it, homeless. Anyway, so I walk up to him. I give him a card. He never made eye contact at all. But I gave him the card, and this is really true, and it really happened. He looks at the card. Then he looks up at me, makes eye contact, and says, "You're Steve Summers?" And he was a listener from the very beginning with WFAN. He's a big Metropolitan fan, big Mets fan. And at the time, the station carried the Mets, and they carried the Knicks, and they carried the Rangers. They don't do that anymore, but nonetheless, then they did. And he knew who I was. And you know what my reaction was in so many words? Boing, if you know what I mean. It was really like I've never felt like that before. So, again, I couldn't believe it. And then the following Monday, because this was like, you know, 1:45, 2:00 in the morning after I was watching that Saturday Night Live rerun. And the bottom line is he called in on Monday, and over the 34 years that I was at the station, he either co-hosted with me or called in. And he would call in as Jerry from Queens, but he was really Jerry from Long Island, Manhasset. And so we had a nice radio relationship, but that's the only, well, there were a couple of other names I could probably drop. Tony Roberts, the Broadway actor, he would call in. Joan Rivers once called in, but didn't want to go on the air. And she called in to recommend a cleaning lady because of my apartment being a real mess. My wife thinks my apartment is a dump, but I called it lived in. But anyway, Joan Rivers called one night and recommended a cleaning lady. And Bruno Kirby, who played Clemenza.
Sure. Is it when Harry met Sally?
Yeah, right. And City Slickers he was in.
Yeah, sure.
And, I mean, you know, but again, you want to be good, no matter. And you guys, from what I understand, you guys are very, very good. And that is not a gratuitous bouquet that I'm throwing at you. You're there because you're in a top market, and you cover. I mean, the Warriors and with the Giants. And do you cover the Sacra Tomato A's?
Not really. Once they left here, we're pretty much done with them, Steve. But
they're vegetables too.
Hey, real quick, tell everybody about that book again, the title, and where they can pick it up.
Well, first of all, it comes out. As far as the date right now, a little bit in question. The book has been published by Triumph Books, and the date has been for some time November 18 when it does come out. Now, it might be a little bit later than that,
sure.
Because, but November 18 as we speak, and it is available online at Amazon. So you can pre-order the book through Amazon. And when it hit Amazon Books, it hit a very high mark, number one for 10 days. And I think it's number five or number six. Number eight, is it, or whatever. But it got very good responses once it was posted on X or Twitter.
Right.
And so, you know, we hope it does well. It really chronicles the career that began at KYA Radio in San Francisco, a top 40 station, and also KPIX.
Sure, it's still around.
Yeah, weekend sportscaster there for a couple of years. And and I went to Lowell High School and San Francisco State University and got to know Ben Fong Torres, who was on my podcast just the other day. And I hadn't talked to Ben in 20, 25 years. And Ben and I were a part of the campus radio station in college. And Ben, of course, an original writer of Rolling Stone magazine.
Sure.
And Ben, you know, was also depicted in the movie Almost Famous.
Sure.
With Kate Hudson when Cameron Crowe, as a teenager, was touring on the road with a number of rock bands. He was filing stories with Ben Fong Torres, who was the last to interview Jim Morrison of the Doors. And so for the heck of it, I had him on my podcast just the other day, and
nice.
It was nice to hear his voice again. And he lives in San Francisco. Maybe he's listening to you guys now. He says he's a fan of the Giants and the A's, and to me, you can't be a fan of both. You have to be a fan of only one, and that sounds like he's a member of the Chamber of Commerce, but Sacramento Tomato is a long ways away, a good two-hour drive from the city.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, you know the radio business. We are up against it, as they say, but thank you so much for checking in, and good luck with the book, and a hell of a career for you.
And bless you guys for having me on. I can't thank you enough. A true honor, and the best to you guys always, forever, until the 12th and never. Much good luck. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Steve.
Steve, you're the man.
Steve Summers, longtime WFAN host since the station start in 1987. He's got a new book out, Me Here, You There. 30-plus years in the business, and chock full of info. Hey.
You're a better man than me.
No. Listen, he's a legend, and
No, he is, man.
The story. Jerry Seinfeld, he's tight with. Come on.
Oh, I know.
He knew the Lizard King, Jim Morrison, and Ben Fong Torres. You know anything about him?
He's, I do now.
He's a legend out here. He wrote, I believe, for the, what they call it, the pink thing in the Chronicle on the weekends? Yeah, come on, Risotto, you know what I'm talking about. Bail me out here.
Oh.
Yeah, the pink, what was it called? The pink section.
Sacred Tomato killed me.
All right.
That was pretty good, man. Steve's been doing it for a long time. I might have to read this book.
I might have to tell Guru about this interview. All right.
The Metropolitans.
So
he calls the Jets the Jetropolitans, by the way.
Does he really?
Apparently.
All right. That was Steve Summers. He grew up in the... I wanted to talk to him about, you know, what brought him to the East Coast and how come he left.
I kind of want him and Goo to get together. You know,
they would, hey, Matt and Evan, who was that? Steve Summers.
Yeah.
Steve Summers.
A little respect on his name.
Longtime host at WFAN.
Joe Rivers called in.
Dude, Jerry from Queens. Are you kidding me? Imagine that there was someone of that fame that called into your radio show and no one knew.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be wild. And he never busted him out, so much to the point that he wrote the foreword for this book. That's all time.
Yeah, my guy Jim Molloy saying the pink section. That's what it... Remember, the Sunday... Never mind. You guys are so young, it's ridiculous.
Well, he makes you young.
Hey.
Dude, he was talking about...
Will Chamberlain.
The San Francisco Warriors. They moved here in 58.
Yeah. We got, what, 3 minutes till break?
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you what. I know what. I can't
what was
do
your
that.
Favorite?
You're the worst. You're the worst.
He's one of one.
Okay. I can't even play the Draymond right now because it's too long. I wanted to hear what he said about Santi Aldama.
What do you think he said about Santi Aldama? Seriously, before you play the sound on the other side of the break, hit me before a couple minutes. What do you think that he said about Santi Aldama?
I believe what he said about Santi Aldama, and I'm just guessing here because I really haven't heard it. He's going to say that he's soft and that that wasn't a hard foul. He will also say that JJJ, that was nothing because he and JJJ go way back to Michigan State, and that's just their relationship, so that was nothing to see here. That would be my guess.
I think you're just about on it. Also, something having to do with respect or the lack thereof is probably involved.
Well, he might lose me there. Steiny, I remember the pink section in the San Francisco Chronicle. Used to check it out every Sunday, see what concerts were going to get posted. Oh, the pink section on a Sunday, Evan, was incredible.
Is that the date book?
Yeah, that's what they called it. But, you know, in the know, you called it the pink section. And it was all the movie reviews, all the music reviews. I believe you could find a crossword puzzle or two in there. Of course, Ben Fong Torres' column, I believe, was there. It was a different era, Evan.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
It was a different era. There's
no doubt about it.
And, I never have seen, you want to talk about filibuster, I've never seen Almost Famous, but I've heard it's pretty good. Have you?
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Billy Crudup. Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah, that's who it is.
No, that actually is a very good movie. And I feel like I saw that when I was younger because my mom really likes that movie. I was pretty jealous of the kid. Like, he gets to just follow around a rock star. Now, he also finds out exactly what comes with being a rock star and a lot of the shenanigans behind the scenes, but that is a great movie.
Yep, and somebody asking me if I remember that the Oakland Tribune had a peach section. I don't remember that. In fact, I think you're making it up, 510.
Did you ever have the Tribune? We only had the Chronicle. Like, I still read the Chronicle, but
I used to get the Tribune.
We never had the Tribune.
Oakland Tribune. I mean, there used to be a time when there were six newspapers that traveled with the Warriors. Sometimes seven.
I also didn't get the Contra Costa Times. I apologize.
Oakland Tribune, Contra Costa Times, San Jose Mercury News, San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Examiner, Marin Independent Journal, and even some Santa Rosa Press Democrat travels with Mike Silver way back in the day, since we're going back. Yeah. All right. It looks like we're going to make it. And what's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, just when you think you've heard all the clever things and nicknames and plays on words, I have never heard Sacra Tomato.
That's going to stick.
I've heard Wackramento. I've heard Sack. I've never heard Sacra Tomato.
And his explanation of it, Steve Summers, the legend, was perfect. If you were a vegetable, Sacra Tomato would be a great place for you.
Oh, boy.
He was being serious, too.
Yeah, you know what? We'll replay that in about 10 minutes. We won't.
During the crossover.
Yeah, if you, as always, it's a great time to remind you that if you miss any interviews on 95.7 The Game or you missed any portion of the show, you can always go download the Odyssey app, and we have a rewind feature on that, and you just go back to 1 o'clock and you can hear the interview with Steve Summers, who's got a book out, a longtime overnight host at WFAN.
Shout out to the boss for booking that one.
In New York. Yes. Shout out to the boss. It was a different kind of interview than the one we thought we were going to have with John Fogerty or John Sally, but you know what? We made it happen. So there you go.
You know, the boss, pardon me, swings big. He swings big. So whenever we get a guest from the boss, you got to give it a go. And you never quite know where the road will lead you.
No, you know. Anyway, so thanks to Steve. All right, we're caught between it. All right, Draymond Green, as you know, is now part of our Odyssey family. And he does a podcast for us twice a week. And so he's part of the function of this station now. And I just saw this piece of sound from his podcast, and it's on Santi Aldama and J.J. Jaren Jackson Jr., who Draymond got into it with. And hey, Draymond, I want to hear his rationalization. Here we go.
Just about this week's games, I know everybody had, just wanted to hear about the Aldama situation. He's a guy who always talks. You know, every time we play them, he talks. He likes to mix it up a bit. You know, I'm all for mixing it up a bit, you know. But I what I don't like is guys that talk and, like, act like they want to mix it up, and then you get a little baby foul and you fall out, grabbing your neck, grabbing your head like you dead. And I just disagree with, like, front like that, because even if you get the call, he did, you got the flagrant one, all right, cool, y'all get the ball back and you get two free throws. It's almost like you just sold your soul for two free throws. You just laid out on the floor rolling out like you dead just to get up and walk to the bench and walk to the free throw line. What happens is you lose all respect. So now you're a sucker and we can't unsucker you, because you just act like a complete clown because you listening to some dumbass coach that's telling you if he foul, you sell it. But now you got to play while everybody looking at you like a sucker. And that brother went from a plus 15 to ending the game at a plus 2 after he did that suck, you know. And so I always tell guys, hey, man, don't never play like you're a sucker. Because once you play like a sucker, guess what you are? You a sucker. And it ain't no unsucking in you either. So I thought it was clownish of him to do that. He made a complete clown of himself. And I also made a clown of him when he missed them two free throws. You can't fall out like that and then go miss the two free throws, champ. I mean, not champ. Kid. So, and then obviously everybody saw me get into it with my young fella, Jaren Jackson. We didn't really get into it, but Jaren really pissed me off. As y'all know, that's my young Spartan dog. It ain't no hard feelings, no love lost. Which I would never say anything crazy disrespectful to him like I was saying to Aldama, because that's my young fella. I did tell Jaren to shut up. Because, you know, you come to the rescue of a clown. You're a Spartan dog. We don't rescue suckers. We stay sucker free. So I had to get that trip a little bit. But like I said, as y'all know, that's always going to be love. That ain't changing one bit ever. Bleed green. That was that. That was fun. I enjoyed it.
All right. Draymond Green on some of the stuff that came down during the Memphis game. I guess people are waiting for me to say what a joke, what a clown, but I don't have a problem with it, really.
There's a couple good Dre-isms in there. You can't unsucker. That's pretty good. Once you're a sucker.
I guess, you know, I didn't know Aldama was that kind of player.
What are you talking about?
I didn't know he was a talker. I didn't know he was a pretend tough guy. I thought he was just a dude trying to make it in the NBA.
You called him Salty Aldama the next morning.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Right, but I didn't know that he was a guy who might have been disliked by players in the league.
Well, he's certainly disliked in that moment by Draymond Green. I think it just speaks to the amount of, like, flopping that's around the NBA and how much a player like Draymond Green is not encouraging of it.
Yeah,
even though he takes liberation sometimes, liberties, but I think that's like, again, he's saying you sold out for a couple of free throws, and you just don't want that reputation.
Well, but maybe he knew, but he's assuming that it felt like he assumes Aldama wasn't close to hurt and, you know, flopped, and I didn't know if he was hurt or not.
Well, I think it was also you got to make
foul.
Those free throws.
No doubt.
I mean, make one of them.
I mean, the only thing I would, and like the way he had the back of the jersey or the neck, it just looked awkward. And then when you saw the replay, I don't think it looked quite as bad, but it was, you know, in that gray area. But I didn't, like, it felt like Draymond was saying, you know, he might have been faking an injury or faking that he was hurt. But I didn't know at the time whether he could have been or could have not been. So,
well, it's also just another, like, Draymond knows how to get under people's skin, apparently. I mean, whether you think it's cheap or not, like, whatever he said in that whole interaction, it worked. He missed both free throws. You know, Dre has a history of being able to get under people's skin, and that's an advantage that he'll use to help his team get a win. And by the end of the game, it wasn't like Memphis was the one left laughing. Golden State got the dub.
I mean, the one thing I will say about Draymond is, like, I don't think you can beat him at that game. I don't think you can beat him at that game. The combination of talking, emotion, playing in a big game, I don't think you can beat him at that game. And what I mean at that is you better be careful, because that's business as usual for him. Like, he's immune to it in a way. He's so good at it. So I know, I think if I played against Draymond Green, I would probably keep my mouth shut, because he's better at that than every other player in the league, I feel like.
Well, or you're somebody who has to back it up. You know, if you're going to talk trash to him, you have to be willing to back it up and own it if you don't. There's really only one play, and I don't know if he's talked trash directly, but I remember last year in the playoffs, the guy who probably talked the most trash of any opponent was Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And I think it was more playful. Like, I remember there was a home game, I think it was game three, because they got the first two in Minnesota, where Ant hit a corner three at the end of the first quarter and went down and was chirping at Steph. And of course, Curry was hurt, but he was chirping at him at the bench. And it was more of a playful type of thing, like, I was working on that shot with you in the summer, here's my work kind of deal. But like, Ant's the only guy that I think just has enough of the IDGAF and is also good enough to go out there and back it up.
Yeah, like, I think Edwards is at a certain stature now, and he also goes about it in this playful way. You're right. But I think Edwards has the stature now where Draymond would get into it with him, but and like Draymond would, but when Draymond's going up against Aldama, I don't know. I think Edwards is already at a level in this league where he gets respect that most players his age don't. It's because he's
also
so
Draymond. He's smart. He knows who he's going to talk to and who he's not going to talk to.
Yeah,
like, he's going to talk to guys that he knows he can get in their heads.
Yeah,
Aldama's a guy he can do that. You know, I thought it was interesting that what's Jaren Jackson Jr. supposed to do? Not stand up for his teammate,
right?
He's like, Michigan State. We don't associate with those guys.
Yeah, Santi, I'm with Draymond on this one. Yeah, okay. Hey, the Warrior Summit is Thursday, November 6th, and that's a week from today, live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. All the hosts together again discussing another Warrior season. We're doing it a little bit differently this time around. We usually do it before the season, but we're going to be 9 games into the season this year. Give it just a little bit different flavor. So we'll have some evidence to back up some opinions. Willard and Dibs, they do their thing from 2 to 4. And then all the guests come at 4 to 6. Live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar, we'll have great prizes to give away, drink specials, and your chance to meet all the hosts on the same day. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, Thursday, November 6th. We'll see you there. And that segment was also brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.